Anyway, it's not a Mormon. It's not a Mormon. It's okay. Guest number 46. I'm going to take a 30-second break, and we will let guest number 46 on. Guest number 46, you're on the air.
Hello? Hey.
Hello?
Hey, guys, what's up? What's happening? What's crack-a-lacking?
I don't know. You don't sound like John Britton. Are you affiliated with John Britton?
Yeah, that's my dad.
That's your dad?
Why are you making fun of him?
Why am I making fun of him? Okay, John Britton,
that's
your dad?
Yeah, you guys used to be friends. Yeah. You guys used to be friends.
Are you a male or a female?
Male.
Well,
I'm wondering, why are you guys fighting?
Hold on.
Okay.
Guest number 46.
Okay.
John Britton has five daughters.
Yeah.
Now, how can John Britton be your father?
I'm just talking about the one marriage. He's had girlfriends before.
Okay. So you are essentially you're claiming to be John Britton's long lost bastard.
Yes.
Okay. I think my dick is being pulled right now. But hell, why not?
Yeah, well I am half Cherokee, so
you're what, half Cherokee?
Yeah.
Definitely my dick pulled. So you know, are you gonna claim that John Britton is a Okie from Muskogee?
No, actually, John's like English. He just kind of, you know, like my mom, who is a little bit Cherokee. So I'm the only real like mamzer here.
This is getting weird here. All right, why not? I'll play.
Hey, they're calling me a troll in the chat. Can you mute them?
No, I'm not gonna mute them. I'm not muting you. Well, I mean, why? Yeah, I mean, shoot. This is, you know, this is pretty well, not every show is open mic here. I mean, you know, every ass clown can come in and make a bigger ass of themselves.
Oh,
especially,
okay.
No, I'm not going to mute any, I'm not going to take sides, you know, with ass clowns, all right?
Okay, they're just hurting my feelings, though, so that's why I was just curious.
Okay. So,
I understand yourself.
So where do you live, guest number 46? Have you moved in to, have you moved in with John and his, other legitimate daughters?
No, I actually live in Las Vegas.
You live in Las Vegas, okay.
Yeah, I work for the, Bill Wagner. I work for him, so.
Bill Wagner?
Yeah, he's a spam king.
He's a what?
Spam king. We send out spam emails every day.
Okay. Anyway, are you a Mormon too?
No, I'm not a Mormon at all. I'm not even really religious.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, we are learning all sorts of things here. Most of them apocryphal here. I have. Essentially, some of the things I think that John Britton has sort of messed up is that he desperately wanted a son, and essentially all he had was split tails, and, you know, heck, he was living with his mom's wife, and let me see, three of his five daughters, and essentially all that much estrogen can essentially turn a man nuts here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know he wanted another son because, you know, I'm not white because I am half Cherokee and, you know, English. So I know he wanted a white son, but he could just never produce it. I don't know. I don't know why.
Okay. And I think John Britton's going to have a shit fit, you know, when he hears this. Yeah, I definitely don't believe your story here. I think you're a nimbuster tard, but heck, it don't really matter to me because that way, you know, I mean, know, if it's true, then John's sort of screwed here. You know what I mean? You know, screwed, blued, and tattooed. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, you guys used to be really good friends, and all of a sudden you guys aren't. So I had to be worried. That's why I had to call in.
Well, see, the problem was, is I helped John out. And pretty well he wanted to forget that he wanted to settle. You know, even though I told him he shouldn't here, because essentially Sweaty Eddie actually brought the case to where it was going to be settled. And essentially he lost his nerve and he decided to settle. And then he got screwed on the court settlement. You know what I mean?
And
we spent eight or nine months, and essentially it was me who essentially, you know, he went for about 3 months, you know, and I was nagging him to essentially, you know, hey, what are we going to do? And pretty well he took the second one, and essentially it just made them shit. It made them shit. And essentially we were fighting. And eventually it turned out is that there was a, you know, he fired his lawyers. He's looking around for other lawyers, and they won't have anything to do with it. And essentially it finally came to where, hey, you know, guess what? He has a settlement with the magistrate judge, and the magistrate judge puts aside Cousin Ray, the lawyer's bullshit, and essentially gets it with something he can live with. And still, his settlement was twice as much as he was willing to settle for in June of 2011. He sits down, he blows all that money. And he's done the same thing the entire time. I make $150,000 a year. Well, where is that money? Where is that $150,000 a year you make? Essentially, he lets his wife blow it all. And so, you know, here I have to go ahead and essentially write up stuff for him so he will not be screwed out when it's tick time to essentially get unemployment benefits. Essentially, I fought the Washington State and Oregon State unemployment offices, those unemployment benefits, to a standstill. You know what I mean? For John. I went ahead and essentially when it comes down to it, you know, I would write motions here which would essentially make the judge back off. And then, you know, then John, his daughter, or whatever would show up and essentially they'd fuck it up. Okay, 53, I see what you're doing. Yep. Now you end up having liar bill or whatever here. You end up having these stars, they come in. All right, 53, you're blocked. Okay. You know, folks, I can remember how Buck went here. That's what happened in April. Oh, shit. Okay, I got a card I got to mute here. All righty. Yes, I'm 53. I think he's very clever here, spamming the chat room here. So anyway, how close are you to your quote father?
Well, I just have to drive. It's about 3 hours, so.
Wait, what?
3 hour drive usually.
What? A 6 hour drive?
Yeah.
So does Lorinda know about you?
No, I'm supposed to be a secret. Because all you gotta do is ask John about Elizabeth, and he'll know about my mom. And you know, it's kind of sucked I haven't had him in my life really, because I also turned out to be gay. So yeah, you know how that goes.
You're really pulling my dick. You know, guest number 46.
<What?
laughs> All right, well, you do understand. I think I knew probably John better than anybody else here. I don't believe what you're saying. You know what I mean? You do understand that, don't you?
You can believe what you want. I mean, obviously I have a gay voice. I'm a gay man, and that's my father. So, I mean, believe what you want.
Fine, but Mary, you know, I mean, usually the stories John told me was about his mythical parentage here. I remember reading about a year or so ago. This was when it was something about Newman Britain, and what it boiled down to is that essentially the Britons came from around Guthrie, Oklahoma in the 30s here, and the Dust Bowl, you know, Guthrie, Oklahoma was pretty well at the southern edge of the actual Dust Bowl. And essentially, the Britons, sort of like the Jodes here in Grapes of Wrath, they loaded up and headed for California. And I guess they got in, and essentially that's where they were at, where they met Wesley Swift in the late 50s and early 60s, and, you know, not so much Wesley Swift, but, Connie Lynch. And, I like John, and usually John's honest, but, you know, I do not believe he is a gay, illegitimate son. Okay?
Well,
yeah, I believe,
you know, You can believe what you want, but, you know, I'm the real deal. You know, there's John's a good guy, and I know he obviously wouldn't want to talk about it. I mean, would you want to talk that you had a gay son? You know, because I'm gay and I'm half Cherokee, so I'm obviously not white. Someone just called me an
ass. Well, I mean, essentially, I have when I was young, I fucked whores in Germany, but. You know, thing about it is, though, is that this is just commercial sex for what? Oh, the equivalent of $17.50. I would tend to not believe that I had a gay son from a Cherokee woman, you know, just because I had a little frolic here at the whorehouse in Germany. So, essentially, I probably wouldn't believe. I mean, I guess I can't relate because, no, I don't believe that there's some little nigger or Turkish mongrel here said, well, I had a relationship with your mother and I turned out gay. So I don't think John had any such thing relationship either. You know what I mean?
Oh.
All right?
Yeah, I know. This is the thing is that, you know, I look kind of white because, you know, John's one of the few blonde guys in the world. There's not many blonde males. And my mom is Cherokee, so I look kind of like, I don't know, I guess you'd say a Middle Easterner. And yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not going to convince me that you're legit. But, you know, like I say, you know, here on the Movement Turd, tards make the turd roar. And you have been entertaining, you know, not believable to me. You know, see, I knew John Britton very well. I didn't altogether believe all this bullshit, you know, about, you know, he would tell me about his lineage here. I mean, I'm sort of unusual. I mean, in that, you know, like Harold Cubs says, most Americans can't even name the names of their, you know, the first name and last name of more than one or two of their grandparents here. I'm able to at least know the name of one of my great-great-grandparents and pretty well most of the names of my great-great-grandparents. You know what I mean? Sort of like old Russ reclaiming that, oh, your mother's name is Samuelson here, and he goes ahead and adds an RF Sam, a Finnish Lap Mongol or something like that here. Well, the fact Mary is that I know of, you know, never met because he died in 1927, you know, 50 some years and some odd months here before I was born. You know, but his tombstone is in the Pier Cemetery. And he was born in Sweden and sometime when he was in his 20s or so. So he would have been born in 1840. So he would have lived to be about 80, maybe 90 years old. you know, the, his tombstone, his grave was probably good for a day. It was made out of concrete, so I could only tell the essentially what was the last thing put in, which was his day of death here, sometime in January of 1927. But he, he was doubtless born Carl Svensson, from a village around Helsingborg, which is southwest Sweden. And what he did is he brought, he married his second cousin, and they're like, oh, you shouldn't have married your second cousin. Well, I guess he liked her just fine. He went ahead and he brought her over, and he brought over half the village of Svensons and Svensons, and I don't know how the hell these Ericssons got in, but, Svensons and Svensons and Ericssons. And he was the one who essentially had it all planned out to learn English, to anglicize his name fully, and come to this country. Now, he got drafted. He got pretty well picked off from the boat here, but, he got a double, he got a double homestead. And essentially, his initial homestead, the Samuelson / Svensson, Svensson and Ericsson homestead is now a state park in South Dakota called Beaver Creek State Park, and it's a beautiful little creek bottomland valley with pin oaks, which are rare in South Dakota. And they tore off the second story and the sawed off lumber, and essentially he has his log cabin. I bet old Charles would have been pissed off because, hell, he was probably born and raised in a log cabin. Essentially, money means, essentially commercially sawed lumber here. So he probably would have been pissed off with what they did, but essentially they pretty well gave the homestead to make a state park out of it. It's a beautiful plot of land, of what, 320 acres, double homestead. And, essentially him and his second cousin wife raised 11 healthy children, of which my grandfather, Martin Samuelson, was the absolute youngest. He was the baby of the family, born in 1890 or 1891. So, the Samuelsons are one of the first families of South Dakota. Now, unlike John, I know for a fact here what they did, what my grandfather did, and, I met my grandfather. And I was named after my grandfather. So, here's old Rusper. Here's old Rusper. He's just saying all sorts of, a bunch of shit come up with by a mongrel named Victor Switzer. So you have all these ass clowns and mongrels trying to go ahead and make me into a mongrel, when here's old Rusper, for whatever reason, he tells Athena that his mother was Sicilian. And I stick up for Rusper, and old John goes ahead and he's playing his little game. Now, if he's getting shit because of him allowing, you aren't the one who's using his email address, are you?
No, I don't. Why would I email my own dad? I just call him.
Okay. Well, how in the world did you find out about this show tonight?
He talks about you all the time.
Huh?
He talks about you all the time.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well,
you come up a lot.
We used to be about as close as anybody could be.
Yeah.
But he decided for whatever reason, not to blame himself for chickening out on taking this thing to trial. When he had a green light and it was finally going to come to trial, he went ahead and he chickened out, wanted a settlement here, and they got a settlement and they blew it. He went ahead and spent it all. He spent it pretty well. He spent all of it in 4 to 6 months.
Wow, maybe his wife should get a job and help him pay for stuff,
Wife wouldn't need to get a job. I mean, that much money here, probably me, I'd probably have the principal left in 10, I'd probably have the principal and be living off the interest. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have too much sympathy for people who spend, you know, I'm not going to say how much, but spend that much money. You know, when I live off of what? Essentially, I live off $10,000 a year, and I got enough to buy a house, a fairly good house for $14,000. I mean, I don't have too much sympathy. $12,000, you know, for my share. I don't have too much sympathy. I don't have too much sympathy for people who run through that much money. And like I told him here, you're worried about your daughters, you know, getting on with the wrong kind of people. Essentially, buy you a $10,000 house. Buy you a $10,000 house in West River, South or North Dakota, you know, in a 30-mile town. You can get a hell of a town. You can get a hell of a house and probably lots of lots. Like, well, Corncob bought a two-story place, a two-story house, a two-story former creamery, and a couple room, one-story shack, and 13 lots. In Leith, North Dakota, for $8,600. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think you could have bought in West River, South or North Dakota without a, you know, 30-mile town, without a nigger and a mud shark in it? What do you think you could have gone ahead and bought in a ghost town, you know, with gravel roads? What do you think you could have bought? What do you think you could have bought for $10,000?
You could have bought
essentially having just one store and one gas station and a, you know, bar in town. You could have gone ahead and put a satellite dish here and got internet satellite. The electricity is real cheap from all them Missouri River dams. And essentially, you could have got to where your women would essentially stayed home and minded a garden. You know what I mean? And that's
yeah,
what you could.
Mm-hmm. Huh? I was going to say, though, that where he lives, those houses are not cheap, and Idaho is really expensive to live, so it just depends. I mean, where are you going to go? Or if it's a trailer, or I guess the farther away you go from society, the cheaper it is to live out there.
Well, that's exactly what I told him. Is your name? What is your name? Cody?
Yeah. Cody Westfall? That's my name?
Oh, shit.
Why?
Yes, number 34. Yeah, well, shit. Maybe you are telling the truth. I don't know. Your name is Cody?
Yeah.
Westfall?
Yes.
Well, I'm a little bit stunned. Maybe you are telling the truth.
I just called in because you guys used to be good friends, and he was talking bad about it.
Do you understand why I'm annoyed? Because for 12 days, I didn't want to essentially get involved in the stupid shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to get involved in the stupid shit, and John pushes it and pushes it and pushes it. And essentially gets Rustford to admit that, yes, he is a Sicilian Guido. And I try to stick up for Rustford and say, well, I think Rustford is essentially the dumbest wigger that ever lived. Turns on me. I mean, essentially, and John Britton is egging it on. Now, that really sort of pisses me off. You know what I mean? Maybe he should have simply admitted that he fucked up here, essentially he wanted to settle in June of 2011, and he still got better than twice what he wanted to settle for, and he wants to blame me for this shit.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Essentially, I didn't go chasing after him. When he decided, you know, I mean, here he is, whining, you know, him and Buck the Q were whining like pussies, then I just sue Brian Rio to suit them at their time here. But essentially, when I come in, say, okay, Athena, okay, you know, John, okay, Buckifer, let me have some affidavits. I'm being a suing little cocksucker. I'm thinking of just simply just letting the sumbitch roar here, and essentially going to give, you know, Brian Rio, Eli James, Bill Fink, you know, essentially the Court of Original Jurisdiction, United States District Court, for taking down my web pages here. Let me have an affidavit or two about what piece of shit Brian Rio is. And essentially, no, I don't, you know, they all fucking run away. And then I don't hear a damn thing from them. Until Buckifer decides to go ahead and give me a call, you know, because I'm not on Skype here. Well, my, you know, I had, essentially, the microphone screwed up here. And essentially, I've gone ahead and, so for some reason, I look at a entry on my Sock Puppet account, you know, Sock Puppet book, where essentially Buck McHugh told me, even though I hadn't asked him to, essentially everything about Brian Rio except for his name and actual place of residence. To where I finally figure out of looking on Finkelstein's Facebook account. Essentially, I accuse Buck McHugh of essentially using me and John Britton as cat's paws. And essentially, he gets John Britton on Skype, and I can hear in. John Britton says he's going to call. He doesn't fucking call until it's time to cause trouble in December of this year. Now, if I'm quite willing to let John run off, and, you know, hey, you know, John, run off. I'm not going to whine like a pussy. Please be my friend, please. Because I have a little bit more self-respect than that. I mean, if you want to run off from being a friend, run off. But don't blame me for your stupid shit here, because you didn't have balls enough to go ahead and take care of business. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it looks like maybe you are telling the truth. I mean, supposedly guest number 34 is either John Britton or his errant nephew. That's pretty well, I didn't pay attention to your name. You're a Cody Westfall?
Yeah.
It says you're his eldest son. I never knew about any sons of John Britton. All I knew was he had five daughters. And the three of them had turned out to be a disappointment. Only the fourth one was worth a shit.
It just shows a lot of wrong guys, a lot of criminal guys, as you probably know, so.
So you're the eldest son? By eldest, that means that you're the oldest. That means he has another son. Do you know this other son?
Yeah.
Yep?
Yeah.
Is he your full-blooded brother?
No, I'm basically the only Mamzer, I guess you call it.
So he has another. He has another son.
Yeah.
With a white woman.
Yeah.
Obviously not. You know, not obviously not his wife, Lorinda. You know, where does this other son live?
I don't know if I want to say, because
okay,
I wanna...
give a freaking state here, okay?
It's the East Coast. Can I just say he's a dockman on the East Coast? I mean,
it's someplace on the East Coast.
Yeah.
He was in New England?
Yeah.
How old is his son?
I don't know how much. I don't want to, you know, if you're at war or whatever with John, I don't.
Is he in his 20s? Is he in his, well, obviously 30s would be stretched because John's about, what, 52?
Yeah, 30s.
Yeah. He's
30. We're both in the 30s.
Okay. Well, shit. Good Lord, this is a little bit of information overload. Seems like I didn't really know John very well at all.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Lindstedt, can I call on your show tomorrow? I gotta get going here.
I don't have a show tomorrow. I have a show Tuesday. Why don't you send if you have anything more to say, you know, why don't you send it to Pastor Linstead? You know how to spell pastor, right? P-A-S-T-O-R, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Linstead, L-I-N-D-S-T-E-D-T, at gmail.com. Gmail is pretty common, you know, email. Pastor Linstead at gmail.com. And essentially, we'll have you for another, you know, for another time here. I mean, but, you know, shit, I thought you were a nimbuster retard who was pulling my dick is what I thought you were. You know, and essentially guest number 30, you know, you still may be lying to me, but I don't know. I mean, this is sort of, you know, I didn't know this. You know, if it's true, it's sort of interesting here. You know, essentially what I did this morning is I looked up his oldest daughter's Facebook account. And essentially, you know, I'm Facebook friends with her when I drafted her to appeal her divorce, you know, to appeal her divorce against her worthless bastard husband. And essentially, I looked up the law. I looked up the law and essentially found out you can go ahead and run over this bastard every 60 days. Essentially, you know, the judge didn't have any choice in what to do. And essentially the first husband, what he did is that he got his crazy-ass mother to do a bombing attempt here, and then said that his wife was Aryan Nations, was the Bergen bitch from Belsen or whatever. Essentially, she was Aryan Nations, and she was plotting to blow up the federal, you know, essentially the federal building at Pocatello, the, you know, state court municipal, you know, essentially this bomb scare, which would have been a felony, was a federal felony, essentially was altogether a ruse by her first husband. And essentially they let him and this bitch get off, his mother bitch, you know, green tooth bitch get off with essentially a misdemeanor. You know what I mean? A misdemeanor for a bomb attempt for a state building, you know, for a state building. Essentially they let the worthless master get off, and essentially I was going to, you know, I went ahead and John wanted me to fight with that, you know, piece of shit Chris Luna on the, it became a part of the paper here. I logged in as Pastor Linstead and essentially trashed that lying bastard out. And I'm not sure if it's still on there. It's on my webpage at the time. And pretty well, I got this judge to reconsider, but he seemed that, you know, both John and his daughter, weren't tough enough to keep this thing going to where he would have to essentially change his decree. But he did get a second, she did get a second bite of the apple. And she got all mad at him, and she slapped him in the face and then ran out. And she left her computer behind, so she came back, and essentially he went ahead and paid for them to go to Pocatello. And essentially, you know, I helped him out. I helped him out in May 2010. And any case here, so she was all mad. She called me a jackass and, you know, his retarded racist friend. But essentially, she went ahead and found another, you know, she found another dick when her first husband sent her to the, you know, to the nut house, and she found her some new dick at the nut house. So essentially, I was looking at her Facebook page, and I pretty well slipped up all the pictures here. And this morning, I just pretty well fired a shot against John's mouth, you know, both saying, you know, essentially saying, you know, you need to stop this shit. You need to stop this shit right now. And I haven't heard anything more from him. So I'm hoping that he will behave himself and stop starting shit. You know what I mean? Now, if he has a gay, you know, jerky son, I don't know. I still think I'm being spoofed here. You know, I have been spoofed before, you know what I mean, by Kennewick Man. And I've been spoofed by Kennewick Man here as George Takei. So, you know, I don't know. But guess number 34 is, well, either I'm being played or maybe it's the truth here. And essentially, if you want to come back when we do another show here, well, hey, I'll probably have all the Nimbus to retards here listening to this shit, along with Open Gender Bender, Jeremy Visser, maybe Rustler, whatever, okay? Sound good? Oh, well, I guess number 46 hung up here. PastorLinston@gmail.com, and guess number 34, you know, it's either John Britton or it's John Britton's errant nephew. And if it's John Britton's errant nephew, congratulations on getting out of jail. So, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break here. I sort of think that I ended up, you know, unlike Jerry Springer's show, which is highly scripted, this was out of the blue. But, folks, we're going to take a break, and I'll be back. Hail Victory.